during this time of the coronavirus, I have sought and found comfort, support, encouragement, ways to help and ways to be helped from many different people and places. People and places such as my family, friends, and colleagues, prayer, reading good books, listening to good music, walking early in the morning at a respectful distance, participating in virtual worship with you, and being part of a virtual small group like the Good Book Club or Church in the Ale House. One of the places that I have found the most strength and encouragement is my Bible, especially the Book of Psalms and the Gospels. As you can see on your screen, today's scripture reading is from the Book of Psalms. This book is different from all other books in the Bible. It's the prayer book and the hymn book of the ancient Hebrews. The rest of Scripture mainly consists of God's word to us, God's guidance and revelations to us, while the book of Psalms is filled with our words to God, our praises and prayers, our shouts of joy and thanksgiving, but also our cries for help, our laments and complaints, our anguished expressions of doubt and fear. Today's scripture is a psalm of lament and complaint. Something is terribly wrong, and the author of Psalm 13 doesn't take a second to tell God about it. Listen. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death, and my enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am stricken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Normally, after we read scripture, we say, this is the word of the Lord. But today, these words are to God. But we can still say, this is the word of the Lord, because this prayer has been inspired by God. So, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. During this crisis, many people are asking why. Why is this pandemic happening? Why did this virus kill my uncle and take away my livelihood? Why aren't our leaders working more together to help us? Others are asking who? Who's responsible? Who can help me? And even better yet, who can I help? Now, didn't you notice that during his time of trouble, the author of Psalm 13 asked neither of these questions? He's not interested in the why or the who, but rather the how. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my heart? Now, I think this how question is the one that we should be asking today. In fact, I think it is the question we should be asking every time trouble and tragedy overtake us and those we love. How do we cope, endure, survive? When the doctor tells us our son has leukemia, when our wife says, I want a divorce, when our father has a stroke, when our addiction is bringing out the worst in us and destroying the best in us, when this pandemic is turning our world upside down, sowing doubts in our minds, bringing tears to our eyes, gripping our heart with fear. How do we cope, endure, survive? Now, in response to this how question, I think the Bible gives us at least three practical suggestions. The first suggestion is, do what this psalmist does. Cry out to God. Tell God about the tough, terrible things that are happening to you. Pour out your heart. Shout, weep, argue. Beg for help. Grab hold of all of those God-given promises that you and I have heard since Sunday school and ask God to live up to them. Promises like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. This is exactly what the author of Psalm 13 does. I can just imagine him shaking his fist at the sky and screaming, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and sorrow in my heart? A couple of months ago, when I was visiting one of you at Jefferson Hospital, I passed a very worried and distressed family in the hall. I overheard one person saying to the others, the first thing we have to do is stop our crying. Well, Jesus recommends the exact opposite. Blessed are those who mourn, he says, for they shall be comforted. And in his own life, Jesus does exactly what he teaches. Just before his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is on his knees, sweating blood, and pleading with God, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. From his cross, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? When you and I share our feelings and fears with God, we stand in a great faithful tradition. From Moses to Job, to David, to Jeremiah, to Ruth, to Mary, to Jesus, to Martin Luther, to Dietrich Bonhoeffer, to Dorothy Day. God can take all of our fears, disappointments, complaints, doubts, and anger. In fact, God even invites them because God would much rather we say something, anything to God, than nothing at all. A friend of mine who is a psychologist working at the state mental hospital in Trenton, once told me about an experience that has happened to her on several occasions. When a new patient is admitted to the hospital, the standard procedure involves the patient being interviewed for preliminary information by another doctor, usually an intern. However, when the patient sees my friend for the first time, often the patient is disappointed and upset that he or she is not seeing the original doctor that conducted the intake interview. Often the patient explains, just talking to that other doctor has helped me so much. On the front page of yesterday's New York Times, there was reported that during this lockdown, workers conducting telephone surveys were having many more people answer their phones. And not only were those surveyed willing to answer their questions, but many of them wanted to talk even longer about their loneliness, sadness, and fears. Telemarketers have reported this very same phenomenon. And at the end of their sales pitch, many have even thanked them for calling. Now, if talking to some unknown telemarketer helps, can you just imagine what our talking to God can do? This is the Bible's first suggestion when terrible things happen to us. Tell God, cry, scream, moan, complain. Do whatever it takes to let God know how you feel and where you hurt. After we've done this, the Bible has a second suggestion. Wait. Wait for the Lord, says the prophet Isaiah. He writes these familiar words. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like angels. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I imagine that most of us at one time or another have heard this saying, suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. If only Judas would have believed this, if only he had waited just 3 days, he too would have met the risen Christ, been forgiven, and welcomed back like Peter and the other disciples were. With God, nothing is hopeless. Wait. God and time will relieve our despair and show us a way forward. Abraham Lincoln was not only an inspiring orator, but also a great storyteller. Once he told a story about a king who charged the scholars in his court to compose a sentence to be displayed above his throne. This sentence was to be true and applicable at all times and in all situations. After much thought, the scholars proposed these words: "This too shall pass." "This too shall pass" was a mantra that Lincoln used many times during the Civil War. Wait. God and time will change our circumstances. Wait. This pandemic will not last forever. After Jesus' death, the disciples waited just 3 days for this promise of Jesus to come true. Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn, you will have pain, but your pain will turn into joy. They waited 40 days for this second promise of Jesus to come true. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. They waited, and Pentecost happened. Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait. God and time will renew our strength to meet and to master whatever happens to us during this crisis. When terrible things like this pandemic happen, Scripture reveals a third truth. It's a promise. A promise that if we will take our troubles and fears to God, and if we will wait for God to respond, God hears, God cares, God acts. God comes to us and gives us whatever is needed to survive this terrible experience. Now, how can I say this? How do I know that this is true? Because God makes this promise again and again to those who turn to God with their troubles. When Moses says to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and lead my people out of Egypt?" God simply answers, "Well, I'll be with you." The author of the 23rd Psalm believes and proclaims this very same promise. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Jesus makes this same promise to his disciples then and now. "I am with you always." The Apostle Paul pins this same promise to the Christians in Rome and to us. "I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God revealed to us in Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, right alongside this promise, Jesus makes this astonishing self-revelation. He proclaims, "The Father and I are one. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." This means that God is not only with us when we suffer, but that God knows firsthand what it is to suffer. With Jesus, God has been misjudged, gossiped and lied about, betrayed and rejected. God has had thorns in his brow, nails in his hands and feet, a spear in his side, and his dead body laid in a stone-cold tomb. Our God has experienced suffering and even death, and has promised to be beside us, to give us the strength to endure our own sufferings and death. It is no accident that some of the people who have suffered the most, people like the disciple Peter and the apostle Paul, Helen Keller and Elie Wiesel, Martin Luther King Jr. and Mother Teresa, are some of the people who have trusted God the most. That's because somehow, some way, God has come to them in their trials and their tribulations and provided them whatever they needed to trust, to endure, and to survive. Jesus' own cross is a symbol of the worst that life and the world can do to you and me. Notice, his cross does not destroy his love and mercy. From it, he prays, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Notice, his cross does not destroy his hope. To the thief hanging next to him on the cross, Jesus promises, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Notice, his cross doesn't destroy his trust in God. Moments after he screams, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus prays, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Notice, Jesus' cross does not even destroy Jesus. 3 days later, Easter happens. God defeats evil and death and raises Jesus to new life. Our God does not always give us an answer to why terrible things happen or who is responsible. And neither does our God promise us that terrible things won't happen. What God does do is promise to be with us when those terrible things do happen. In the midst of this pandemic, you and I are facing a whole host of uncertainties. However, in the midst of all of these uncertainties, we can be certain of this. If we will cry out to God, if we will wait for God to respond, if we will trust in God's promises, then, like with Jesus and so many others, somehow, some way, God will hear, God will act, God will come to us and give us the strength to endure and master whatever we are experiencing. This is God's promise.